plate a potential nugget.
Arun, I want to rewind the clock. In this podcast, I talk to people about some of the key transitions they've made. After a long time in Tata Motors, you moved to Arthur D. Little. Give us a sense of how that came about. Why move to advisory after a long stint in the industry? And more importantly, talk to us about what were the challenges in settling into the new way of life, if you will, moving from the industry to the advisory side?
Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes the choices are forced on one, or the need to make a choice is forced on one. So I was extremely satisfied and with my growth and development and even a sense of achievement in my years with Tata's. I've been there 25 years already. I found myself, as I said, growing up. And I'm thinking back of those years now, so pleased with what life gave me in those years. And then something happens, as you say, in life, because the human being is not just sort of self-fulfilling, self-actualizing. You have other relationships and obligations, and certainly if you have a family, you get married and you have children, I mean, that's all part of your life now. And so things happen in other people's lives who are part of your family, which then compel you to have to make decisions about your life. So in this case, it was my daughter who had finished with her high school in India and then got herself at a pretty young age a full scholarship to go do her undergraduate studies in the United States, very far away, and living there by herself. And she got rather unwell in the first year, at the end of the first year, in Wellesley. And doctors there, and the best doctors are there, they could not figure out what was wrong with her. And so when she, just after that, the vacation was starting anyway. So she came home and we got the very best doctors in India to look at her, because the doctors in the US felt there was some tropical disease that she had, and maybe doctors here would know what to do. And the doctors here also couldn't figure out what the disease, if anything, was with her. So in that moment, well, she was otherwise functioning as a human being, but something was decaying inside her and no one could figure out what was causing it to happen. So as it comes, as you know, in such situations, and when people have worse things like cancer also, and you say, well, you carry on life or you retreat from life and then worry about whether you're going to get well or not. And certainly at that age, and she was a spunky girl, she said, no, I'm just going back to college. No one can figure out what is wrong. I might as well be there. And I'm going to be. But she was decaying. So my wife, naturally, as a mother, first child, and she says, no, I just have to be with her. And so the question comes, what am I going to do? And more importantly, in those years, it's in more importantly from my perspective, because I have to support the family, it was not possible for us to send money from India. And there wasn't much money to send for my wife to live there and for any treatments there. So it was suggested to me by Mr. G.R.D. Tata that why don't I look for something to do in the United States, like a sabbatical, and that would perhaps enable me to live with my family as well as earn. And so think of that. Now, what would I do at that age? I'm 45 and in a very senior position on the board of the Indian's largest company. And these sort of people are not taken into consulting when you get people fresh out of business school. So he said that he knew a firm, Arthur D. Little, who had senior people. They were a different sort of consulting firm, people with experience, because the work they did was to guide, governments and senior people. And he said they had been consultants to the Indian government on India's, I think it was defense policy and nuclear policy. And G.R.D. Tata was associated with it. So he had great respect for them. And he said, people like you are in that firm. So I write to them, good relationships, and maybe they interview you and like you, go work with them. They'll pay you something and you can live there and come back whenever your daughter is well. Now, it was very hard for me because I was really on a high with work and on the cusp, if you will, of even people thought bigger things for myself. So, should I go to something strange? And I mean, new country, new firm, new profession, it was going to be tough at 45. It was a midlife crisis sort of in reverse going to be thrown at me. And G.R.D. Tata called me to his room, and he could see I was struggling, you know, to stay or go and so on. So he said, look, I'm going to have to tell you something which is going to hurt you, but I have to say it. You are one father only for your daughter. And at this age, she needs father. Okay, you are very good and bright and we have great love for you, but we'll find another Myra and she can't find another father. And that's all he said. So that, you know, would the greatness advice of the man. And so, yeah, so I...
Profound selfless advice from him.
Yes, yeah. exactly. So I took off. Yes, it was tough there, as was anticipated, and that was much worse than I thought it would be. I mean, to go into an organization which no one knows you except the 3-4 people who had interviewed me or been connected with some work we had done, that's all. And whereas in Tata's, everybody, oh, Mr. Myra.
Sure.
And so in India, you're Tata's, and that also Tata's, it is a big thing. I mean, you're a nobody in your own organization, nobody in society or the country. It's personally very difficult. Who appreciates you? Who knows you? The profession was very different too. I mean, let's forget the culture of America, which was in some ways nice. I mean, you had freedom to do things and learn to do things for yourself, which you didn't have to do here. But otherwise, in terms of the profession, it was very new. Because here I was in a situation where I had the power. If we were making changes in Tata's, and we did some remarkable things. Yeah, I was the big boss. If I got the bee in my bonnet, then you know, we gathered together, and of course we discussed others' ideas and mine, and we could do it. Because, you know, I could say, all right, decision taken,
yep,
do it, and then take the rap if it went wrong and celebrate if it went right. There, I wasn't the boss of the client's organization, and they had to do something to succeed. And so how can one be helpful to someone else on their journey? It is no longer your journey. I was here on a very successful, happy journey myself. How could I be useful to someone else on journeys which could be as aspirational as mine own was in my professional life thus far? So when I got to that question, I said, here's something new to learn, is how one could be a leader without having the hands on the controls.
Got it.
So in a way, yes, I am leading something, but I'm not the person with the hands on the control. That is, can be seen as the leader and should be the leader too. So the learning about the journeys of others, what goes on in the journeys of others, and if one understands that, then only one can be helpful to that journey. Yeah, one can't just say, I did this, I was very successful, you therefore must do this. It won't work. Fortunately for me, as I said earlier, that I was in a strange setup where no one knew me. So here in India, if I got into a consulting situation, people would say, you know, Mr. Myra, yes, you've done so well in Tata's, tell us. And they would also take it without questioning it. Over there, no one knew me. So if I was giving advice to somebody, they wouldn't accept it just because I was a successful person. I had to get them to appreciate the value of that advice for them.
Understood.
From a zero, coming from someone who personally is a zero. But the advice itself must resonate with that person. So that was very good.
Fascinating.
A couple of things struck me here. One is Arun talking about what Mr. G.R.D. Tata tells him, about him being the only father for his daughter. I experienced something very similar about a decade back. I was working as a consultant with McKinsey in New Jersey, and I got a call from Chennai that my father was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer. It changed a lot of things for me because I had a loan to pay back at that point in time, and my wife and I had set off on a trajectory to live in different countries and then come back to India after a few years. And if I had to be honest with myself, I was 50-50 about the decision at that point in time. But when I look at it with hindsight, relocating to India to take care of his treatment and spending the last 6 months of his life being close to him has been immensely fulfilling and possibly one of the best decisions I've ever taken. It was an absolute no-brainer when I look back. Something similar came up in my conversation with Meher Padamji, chairperson of Thermax. She spoke about losing her father and brother in quick succession and how not having regrets helped her healing process.
And another big thing that I've learned from death is that with both my brother and my father, if you had to rewind the clock and say, would you have lived your life differently, knowing that your dad will die at 60 and your brother at 25, would you do anything different? And I'd say, predominantly so, not a lot. Mm-hmm. So the relationship that I had with both was so strong that I don't think I would have changed very much. And therefore, there was no guilt after death. And I find that that really helped in my healing process.
There's enough research that says that over the long run, people regret their omissions much more than their commissions. So having some clarity over your priorities on the work and the home front, I do think is paramount. The second point that struck me was that the role in the US came through an introduction from Mr. J.R.D. Tata to some of the senior partners in Arthur D. Little. I find that when people get senior, and when you're reinventing yourself in a new context, whether it's a new profession or a geography, it's critical to play on the balance sheet of relationships you've built till date and use that as a bridge of trust to cross over to a different domain. Search consultants are likely to be not of much use in this kind of a situation. So just ensuring that you leave with your relationships intact and even leveraging your relationships as you move forward to a new context is critical. Thank you for listening. For more, please visit playtopotential.com.